May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. There was a widow who gave to the prophet Elijah her very last morsel of food. There was no more. It's all that she and her child had to eat. Her actions showed the value that she placed in her trust in God, in her love for God. There was nothing more important to her. There must not have been, or why would she give away the very last piece of food that she had? There was another widow who donated her last penny to the temple treasury. Jesus explained that her actions revealed her values. It was not about showing off, like the scribes often did. It was about showing her gratitude to God. There was nothing more important for her. The lesson today from the letter to the Hebrews describes how Jesus' action of giving himself, of this generous offering of himself as a sacrifice for our sins, has shown what was most important to Jesus. In fact, think about it. He was also generous to give up his divinity, wasn't he? Because he became a human being. He had all the power and all the rights of divinity, but gave that up as well, because there was something he felt was more important for you and me, to have the gap, the cavern between us and God fixed, repaired by him. These are lessons in core values, each one of these. In fact, I invite you to take your reading insert home with you and read through the Psalms, because even the Psalms reflects a message about what is a core value. It's clear from the two widows, it's clear from Jesus, what was the most valuable thing to them. What was the core value that drove them to the actions that they took? The values that you and I have affect our behavior. There is a cause and effect between values that we hold dear and how we act and how we react to life. There is a link between the two. And our values can change over time. And when values change, our behavior is likely to change as well. So there is a connection between these two things. In fact, it's really important that you and I pay attention to what values we decide to live our lives by. And are we just letting it happen? Or are we deliberate? Are we intentional about deciding, these are the values that I want to live my life by? About 6 years ago, the diocese decided it was time to write a strategic plan, and so they formed a committee, and the committee worked for almost a year coming up with a strategic plan, and part of that process was to come up with a list of diocesan core values, because there is this truism that the core values that we decide to live our lives by should indicate our actions. It should guide us in what things we are and aren't going to do. We are and aren't going to spend time on. We are and are not going to spend money on. And so it's important to really give thought to it. What a list they came up with. I was so impressed with it. I'm the chair, and have been for a few years, of the Diocesan Budget Committee. And at the beginning of every meeting, we read through those core values, because I want those values to guide us in our budgeting process, so that as we're thinking about what to fund and what not to fund and how to do that, they reflect the core values. So here are the diocese's core values: Christ-centeredness, reconciliation, passion, creativity, and integrity. It's a great list. So this begs the question, what are your personal core values? What have you decided will guide your actions? What will you decide is the list that you operate against to prioritize your life? Have you been intentional about choosing the core values that you will live by? For years, the list I went by is a list that I learned in Boy Scouts, and it just won't go away. I mean, it's stuck with me my whole life. And the Scout Law is really about core values. A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. See? 14 years old, I learned that. And I just know that list because I just feel like it needs to be part of me. And it's a good list. This fall, as the time has come for us to consider our giving commitment for St. Luke's for 2019, our theme is transforming generosity. Transforming generosity. And that theme is really inviting you and me to think about examples of God's generosity that we've experienced in our lives and how we feel we want to respond to that generosity. And it's not just about money. I mean, this is time, treasure, and talent. This is about, you know, we can identify the values we really choose to live by when we look at how do I spend my time and how do I use the skills and talents that I have and how do I invest my money? How do I spend my money? And so when we look at those aspects of our lives, we see what core values we have really set for ourselves. How do we value the source of what we own and where we live and the family we have and even life itself? Where does it all come from? Is it all a sign of God's generosity? And then once we've made that decision, what values have we decided to hold onto to guide us? What values maybe should be adjusted from what we have discovered they are, or what ones need to be replaced with something else? How do we live them out so there's integrity between the values we choose and the actions we live by? In the gospel passage, Jesus was voicing his anger with the scribes because there wasn't that integrity. He couldn't see the connection between them wearing long robes and wanting to sit at the front of the room and to look important and to look religious. But then he saw that the way they lived their lives was to take advantage of widows. No integrity. Jesus expects integrity between the core values we choose and the actions that we live by. Another insert in your bulletin is a flyer that during this pledge campaign, every week corresponding with the readings is a flyer. And the one this week is worth your reading, not now, but later. And the author, Kathy Clement, gives some examples of how she ended up experiencing God's generosity in really unexpected places, just not where she would have expected. You know, it wasn't a cloud that descended on a mountain and things that glowed in the dark. There is another way that she experienced God's generosity. And what I loved about it was she wrapped it up with a couple of questions on the back of the page that I'd really like you to reflect on during the week. The first is, what acts of generosity in your life came from unexpected sources? And give some thought to those kinds of blessings. And the second, how have they called you to your own acts of unexpected generosity? I want to give you a few examples. I want to give you three short examples of what I've seen in this exact with this exact idea just in the last couple of weeks. One was last week's parish visit. I saw that Pat Fear was on Alder Guild, and she asked me, would you like to have special flowers for the bishop's visit? And I said, well, yeah, that would be really nice if we had something special. That would be great. Thank you. Well, I came in on Saturday, and the kitchen was filled with flowers. I mean, the top of the table was filled, and the sink was filled, and the counters were filled, and she was stepping back and looking at what it looked like, and then she'd go back up and adjust one flower. This was not my version of taking a bouquet of flowers to Ruth. I've got to retrain myself because I pick it up from Knob Hill and I put it in a vase and I take it home. That is not what happened. And, you know, there was a generosity of time and talent that Pat invested to really have this place look very special. And it did. And the bishop noticed. And so did a lot of us notice how beautiful that was. Another example, I was looking through time cards on Friday, and it's part of my routine in the office, and I noticed that Stella, who's the director at our school, didn't put any hours down for preparing for the Halloween party. There were 100 people who came to that thing, and it took a lot of preparation. And also, she was there for the event and then helped to get everything put back together so it was ready for church that next day. And I said, well, you forgot to put any hours down for that. She said, no, I didn't forget. I wanted to donate that. I just really love what this community does, and I like being part of it, and I had a ball, and I want this to be donated. And I was just impressed with the generosity. And then after that was the bishop's visit, where Marissa, our office manager, decided, you know what, I want an authentic Mexican meal. I mean, none of this Togo stuff. I mean, this has to be the real thing. And she said, my sister and I are going to make handmade tamales, and we're going to set up the kitchen, and we're going to arrange the whole menu, and we're going to take care of all the details. We'll bring the plates. We'll take care of everything so that everybody can just have a nice time. So, and they did all that. I mean, they put a lot of work into this, did a lot of preparation, did a wonderful job serving us, cleaned the whole thing up. So it was ready for preschool the next day. And on Friday, I said, so we need to work on reimbursing you. And she said, well, actually, I only want to be reimbursed for the materials, you know, the supplies that I needed. I don't want to be reimbursed for the rest of it. And then she said this. I had to write it down because I wanted you to hear every word that she said. I have never felt so good working in an environment like St. Luke's and Little Bridges families. I love how people always get together and want to be part of everything. It made me get really emotional when I read that, because what it's saying is that when there is this attitude of generosity and this attitude of gratitude, it spreads, it shows, it affects other people, it changes their attitude, and they end up doing the same thing. I mean, this community, I think, shows a lot of gratitude and a lot of generosity, and the preschool families see it, our staff sees it, and I want you to feel it back, because that's part of how this Christian blessing thing works. That we get to share all this, and we end up being able to nurture this culture of gratitude and generosity. This is about gratitude and generosity. Those are very Christ-centered core values, gratitude and generosity. I pray that we all may choose the values of gratitude and generosity and choose them so fully that they guide our actions, so completely that they spill over to the people around us, and so abundantly that they transform us, and they transform this community, and they transform the world. Amen.